This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp. This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also a very dope live show that we did at the Much Different Podcast Theater in Brooklyn, New York. We were joined by our homie Estefany, who is one half of the Bag Ladies podcast, and we spoke about Pride Month, being queer, demisexuality, and dating in the summer. It was a fun-ass time, and thank you so much to everyone who came out. We'll be back next week with a in-studio episode, and this episode is going to be all about your listener letters, so between now and whenever you get a chance, send your listener letters to ihupodcast@gmail.com and we'll be sure to answer them on the show. And without further ado, enjoy. On today's very special episode of Inner Ho Uprising, we are live at the Much Different Podcast Theater.
Yay!
Thank you all for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, and we are doing a very special episode centered around pride and sexuality with a special guest who we're bringing out in just a moment. But before we get into that, we're going to let y'all niggas know how this show actually goes, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of segments, and they are
Ho of the Week,
where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans who we love.
Self-care tip of the week and or date tip of the week.
Yes, where we give you advice on how to take care of yourselves and or where to take your bae. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then we have Fuck That,
which is our current event segment where we talk about things pertaining to sex, love, and dating in the news.
Fuck It,
where we're doing our topic of the day. And today we're talking about pride, sexuality, and specifically demisexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Fuck You,
where we want all of you to hit us up with your questions about sex, love, and dating, your rants, good things that are going on in your life, steamy sex tales. We're going to give you the mic and let you talk.
But first, we are going to bring out a special guest, our homie, podcast producer extraordinaire, supreme editor, one half of Bag yes. Ladies, a bad bitch from the Bronx.
Yes.
Estefany.
So Estefany is a native New Yorker, storyteller, and artist. She's the co-host and producer of Bag Ladies with her best friend, Lena. Bag Ladies is a podcast about baggage, yours, mine, and theirs. Through the podcast, their goal is to help themselves and their listeners by pushing themselves to be vulnerable about the way the world affects their ability to live out their truest, most authentic lives. It is a great show, and it is
lit.
So well edited.
Thank you so much.
One time, we spoke to Estefany and Lena for 2 hours. This bitch made it 30 minutes.
Everything was still there. Everything.
It was the same hours. Conversation. I didn't even realize anything happened.
Thank you so much. I feel yes. like that makes me all buttery inside. Like,
okay, let's go on to self-care tip of the week now. Akua, did you have a self-care tip?
Nah.
Akua doesn't take... Akua is the only mental health therapist who does
who
not
who
take
don't care,
care
of herself.
It's quite
I help
up.
You, though. I help you.
It's quite... Yes, exactly. Me,
I'll be working
man.
On me.
How about you, Estefany? Do you have a self-care tip?
Ooh, is find a hobby.
You know what? I've been telling myself that recently.
You know, like a nice little hobby. Some
yes.
Some sewing, some reading. You
yes.
know?
Some masturbating people. Isn't a hobby.
It could be.
What's going on in that corner? This bitch had a long day at work. And can we give it up for Akua? Akua worked an 8-hour day today where she fucking listens to other people's problems and now she's here. Just saying some shit in the corner, but she's still saying wild shit. I masturbate for fun. That's cool. Yeah, I appreciate that. I've been doing kickboxing lately. Because somebody had broke my heart a couple of months ago, and I'm just like, you know what? Fuck that nigga. So let me pretend to punch him. Let me pretend this boxing bag is him.
Right. It works.
It does work.
It really works.
That and masturbation, though. Yes. At the same time. At the same time. Okay.
I know for a second.
You want to find out, queen? You want to find out later today what that looks like?
Off the rails with this show. Okay, that was a great self-care tip of the week. Mine was to put sunblock on when you go outside. Because even though we are like melanated people, I sound like a hotep, but we are. You can still get sunburned. I got sunburned the other day and it was fucked up.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Estefany. Thank you. Stephanie's the only one who cares about me on stage. Akua's like this light skinned ass bitch out here getting fucking sun. But I definitely thought it. Akua calls me the yellow one.
I haven't done that in a while,
but it still hurts. It still hurts.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we also have a new segment for spring and summer called Date Idea of the Week. And Stephanie proposed to give us a date idea.
Yes.
Where are we taking bae this week?
So on Thursdays, if y'all go to Chelsea, they have gallery openings and they open to the public. So you get free wine, free white people crackers, some free cheese, and you get to go there. And like, I mean, I'm not buying any paint, any actual paint.
Who has the bag for that?
I mean, it's kind of whack, but you're there for the experience. So you go in there, you go your little tour, and everybody does it. It's like a thing. Take your boo, free drinks, free food, and you kiki, and then y'all go home. In Chelsea on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. I know. I've been there last week.
How many weeks in a row have you done that now?
I make it a thing.
Stephanie's getting fucked up every Thursday night off this box wine.
I just make up a story. Like, I'm a collector, and I'm from a private firm. So where are the good crackers? I know you're the bad one. I want the good ones, please. Thank you. It's great. I mean, my boo like, he's like, yo, okay. These are good.
Ooh, fancy. I like it. Thank you for that. Well, our next segment is Hoe of the Week. And who are our hoes this week, Akua?
Everybody here.
Everybody for coming here this evening. We appreciate
the show.
Each and
you
everyone
guys came
here.
Out to see us. Thank you. We appreciate you hoes.
Yes. We will. Should we name names? Like the people will be recognized in the audience. Akua is ready to go home, son. I'm sorry. I'll talk to y'all after the show, but Akua don't want me to name names. All right, well, let's go into our current event segment, which is called Fuck That.
All right. So this week, New York Police Department Commissioner James O'Neill apologized for police behavior that incited Stonewall riots.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody know what Stonewall is?
Okay, so on June 28th, 1969, at a bar called the Stonewall Inn, which was a bar for people of the LGBTQ community, especially
the quilt bang community.
Oh yes, we gotta start that now. I'm too old for these.
I just like it as a term. It sounds like I'm gonna fuck somebody up.
Quilt bang community, especially the most marginalized, which includes transgender people, drag queens, effeminate men, homeless youth.
Black and brown people.
Black and brown folks. Police raids were not uncommon, but the police came in, and after harassment, menacing, abuse, the patrons of the bar fought back, and it incited a riot that went on that night for about 3 hours, and then the next night, and a couple of days after that. A year later, the community took the streets and marched down Christopher Street at what became the first gay rights movement parade. And now here we are 50 years later, fucking shit up.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking shit up. So that is the Stonewall Riot in a very quick nutshell. So on Thursday, June 6th, 2019.
50 years after the fact.
And I didn't know who this was because I don't keep up with these folks. But the NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill was speaking at what is the LGBTQ Pride Month safety briefing at One Police Plaza. They have it every beginning of June for the month. And he issued an apology, and I'm going to read his apology, actually, word for word.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I think it would be irresponsible of me, as we go through World Pride Month, not to speak of the events at the Stonewall Inn in June of 1969. I'm certainly not going to be an expert of what happened at Stonewall. I do know what happened should not have happened. The actions taken by the NYPD were wrong, plain and simple. The actions and the laws were discriminatory and oppressive, and for that, I apologize. I vow to the LGBTQ community that this will never happen in the NYPD in 2019. We have and we do embrace all New Yorkers."
Somebody said elbow.
They not with it.
And that's how I feel about that apology.
JK.
Especially the last part where he's like, yeah, this would never happen in 2019. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. That's why people fucking rebelled. What are you talking about?
And he made it seem as if he came up with this apology on his own, as if he felt some empathy.
Called to do so, like, my brothers and sisters. But, am I not by now? Exactly. Bang, 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 gang, gang, gang. Let me speak a word.
People, LGBTQ community activists, organizations have been putting pressure on him to do so, and that's why he did it. That's number one. And just 2 years ago, he was talking about, we need to move forward. It's unnecessary.
That's a wild thing to say.
What's the change of heart?
What is the change of heart? I do wonder what happened to make him do that. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, well, okay, before I say that, how do you feel about this, Stephanie?
I mean, same. I completely agree. I think it was very lackluster. It was kind of like, oh, my bad, you know? Sorry.
And we're like, I think it was like, I wasn't there, but I guess it was kind of fucked up. Like,
I heard my people did it, but I wasn't there, so I don't know how it went down specifically, but my bad, they didn't mean to do it. And I'm just like, sir, but I think there's this like movement of like, you know, there's so many like pride themed like products, like people are just taking this in. So they're like, yes, no, we're cool. We're cool. We got rainbow shirts. But you're like, bruh, you don't give your workers healthcare. So like, I don't know.
Like, how are you really protecting any of us? What effort is really being set forth?
Exactly.
What kind of change is happening? What are you going to do, especially as the head of this organized criminal organization? What are you going to do to make change?
Call them out.
Like, I don't want your words.
Right.
You know, especially when just a year and a half ago, you were like, nah, we good.
Right.
It don't feel genuine. It don't feel real.
So what would make it genuine or real? Like, what do we want from the NYPD? Not that anyone here is fucking listening, but I'm going to send this episode to a cop. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to implicate myself.
I want fair treatment of marginalized people. I want better, not handling, but I can't think of the right word.
Well, don't touch us, first of all.
Yeah, so that's why I don't
want
handling.
Get the fuck out of our communities.
But, you know, don't target us. Don't use us for your quotas. Don't help. Actually do what you're supposed to do and help.
Yeah, I think of, because we were talking about, like, black trans women earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So I think of, like, Elon Nettles, the black trans woman who's killed in Harlem maybe, like, 5 years ago or something like that. And the fact that the police wouldn't arrest the guy who did it or something along those lines. Or, like, they were, like, dragging feet and dragging ass when it came to arresting that man. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Like, I mean, it's just all fucked up. I mean, this is... The show is called Inner Home Uprising, but often we just talked about how fucked the world is and how we're not getting fucked. But like from just like off rip, it's just like you think about the fact that like it's hard for black trans people to get jobs and therefore they go into sex work and police treat sex workers like shit. Like if I was walking down the street with all these Inner Home Uprising condoms in my bag and I'm on the wrong street, a nigga might think that I'm a sex worker. By a nigga, I mean a cop. I don't know why I would refer to them as that. And I could possibly get arrested for something like that. So it's like... from jump, it's all bad. I also think about the way that I know that cops talk about people, and I don't think that they, like, there's like these quote unquote sensitivity trainings, but they're not really sensitive when it comes to marginalized identities. Like, cops who exist in real life, they shouldn't, like, when we had the episode with Rob's uncle calling Rob's partner the Essler for Latinx people. Why would a cop be saying something like that? Like, why would a cop be saying, like, quote unquote, that's so gay to describe something that's bad and things of that nature?
I mean, I feel like I can't even think of, like, what I want from cops other than not to exist. But I feel like I can't.
Disappear.
I can't say that, like, you could not.
Thanos snap them, you know?
Right. Just, you know, like, I don't know, because I kind of feel like, you know, the New York Police Department has just so many bashes about it. I just kind of want them to go away, but don't know what the world would look like.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know?
That's something I think about a lot, too. Like, who, when shit pops off, then what happens?
I mean, but I don't call the cops
anyway. Right. You're right. That's true.
That's a good point.
Like, shit is popping off. Let me go hide. Let me stay away from the window.
I'm like, can I help? If it's a fire, I'd be like, yo, we gotta put it out. You know what I mean? Certain things, I'd be like, community group, like, for sure. But, like, there have been so many, like, community-based, like, actions that have taken in my neighborhood that we never call a cop. Someone had a fight, but like, yo, chill. The kids are coming out of school. And it got dropped. Yeah. It was no one calling the cops. Oh my God, there's two people. No, it was just like, nah, stop, cut it. We done, move on. And It was like, people used to argue all the time over parking spots and then get into fights. And then we're like, yo, bro, yeah, I can't share it. Flip a coin, I don't know. But like, we're not calling the cops.
Some way, like, and you just like, have to do it.
Right, and like, the news is starting. Y'all fucking up the news time. And like, we trying to go upstairs to make it happen. So like, you know. Do we need cops? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I hate to put it in the ethos, but like, what if a terrorist attack happened? And that's just food for thought. I'm just dragging this conversation. Yeah, I have no answers.
Right? They'd be like, I'm like, where did it happen? That's not my precinct. I don't tell you.
Not my precinct, not my problem. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, that's so crazy.
Wow. A terrorist attack.
Whoa.
Damn. You might want to stay out of Manhattan. That's fucked up. Okay. That's cool.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. It's just like an I guess. We expect more from you.
But should that
we
is current news.
Yes, current that is current news. Shall we move on to our next segment?
Of course.
Cool. So we're going to get into our topic of the day, and it is called Fuck It. And this is a topic where we basically go through our main subject of the show. And today we are speaking with Stephanie about coming into her sexuality and demisexuality and being a bad bitch and being a queer bitch and all those kinds of things. So first things first, I'll eat your brain. Sorry, I'm from Queens. I just... Nicki Minaj, she pours out of me. Problematic fave. Talk to us a little bit about your sexuality. So you identify as what? What do you identify in terms of your sexuality?
Queer, demisexual.
Cool.
So I feel like I always put queer first because I think a lot of people don't know what demisexual is.
So let's talk about both. What does queer mean to you?
Queer to me means not straight. Like for a long time I thought I was like, oh, I'm like adjacent straight. But then people just like, that's... Sounds like queer. And I was like, oh.
I'm not even sure what you meant by adjacent straight. Let's unpack that. There's a lot of levels here.
She's walking along the road.
You know, just like
kind of straight, kind of not.
You know, I had a really great person that sat down with me. I was like, I think you're queer. And I think you're just afraid to name that. And I was like, okay, you're coming out, me. coming. I just came out for what? I'm so confused. So like, having that, like, that's literally what happened. Like, I had no idea what that was like. I was I was good, and now you're telling me this?
Wow. She's like, bitch, you kind of gay though.
literally. So like, then I started just taking that word queer, and then demisexual. I started at first. I didn't know that it existed. I think it's hard to understand, but then once I read, I was like, oh, that's me. They saw me, they found me through the satellite, they looked into my computer history, and they're like, that's you. And
I was
like,
demisexual.
That's you. And I was like, okay. So the way demisexual works is that you build a sexual attractive, like kind of sexual feelings or like emotional feelings to someone that you're like emotionally connected with. So like, and again, like I think everyone's spectrum is like very different, but like I would say somebody's attractive, but like I wouldn't want to like be physical with them as if like, nah, I gotta know. Yeah, I don't know. Like you cute, but
cool, you wagging your hand over there. What's going on?
No, because I've toyed with that idea of identifying as the idea of demisexual. Like I've read definitions, I've read different people's interpretations and felt like, oh, that might be me. You know, if we really go through my dating and sex history, it's like, bitch, that's you. You know, you don't like these niggas until you find someone.
Actually don't like anyone, ever.
There you go. You walked in something else, and you're leaving.
And I'm leaving.
Let me.
Look at it. But yeah, like, like when you hear people say it, they make it seem like it has to be a very strong emotional attachment. My emotional attachment, or like it has to be lengthy in time or duration to be valid. And my emotional attachments can happen. If we go on one really good date, we get married and I'm texting my group chat and I'm letting them know to get the bridesmaids ready, dresses ready, like it's about to be down. Like, no, for real, like for real, like for real, for real. So like, but when Stephanie was talking, it just felt like, yes. I see it. I feel it.
I think a lot of people assume that, oh, you have to know this person for 6 months or for a year, but that's not true. It's just like that, oh, wow, I really like this person. I really want to connect with this person. But I think sometimes it makes me like, y'all got to, what, 10 years to date? And I'm like, nah, we not, I'm not, what? Why are you talking to me like that? Who are you? Like, what's going on?
Why are you even talking to me?
Like, no, but like, it's has nothing to do with time in the aspect. It's just like, I need to get to know this person in a way that I'm comfortable with them.
So let me tell y'all about a threesome I had in New Orleans.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to tell you about the threesome. But prior to the threesome.
There was a door broken off the hinge that night. That was a wild ride.
But prior to, like, sexual.
I wasn't in the threesome.
No.
I came home to a broken door. I came home to a door on the floor.
No. But prior to actual sexual activity, like, I had to get comfortable, and I was just talking to him about things you wouldn't really be talking to someone you're about to have a one-night stand with. I'm asking about his family, where he work, how long he been there, he got pets. Like, because without that information, nothing was going to happen.
So he's like, my dog's name is Sparky, and your vagina is just getting a little bit more wet.
Like, oh, he got dogs? Why? Do you need companionship? I got you. But and that made me really like start to think like no one else before a threesome with a nigga they just met at the liquor store 2 days, you know, 2 hours ago mm-hmm. is gonna be asking these questions. Mm-hmm. And without it, I'm not nothing is happening. Like, nothing.
Okay.
It's like it is a shallow I feel like I invalidate it because I feel like it's a shallow connection. Like, how much do you know of somebody because he said he lived in Brooklyn all his life?
that tells a lot, actually. It tells quite a bit. It's different from living in Arkansas all your life. That was a non sequitur. Let's continue.
And it's a threesome story. But yes, that really like connects with what you're saying, that like it's just what you need to connect with that person and feel comfortable.
Well, so you had courted this man in the threesome, right?
No.
He courted you?
You remember we went to the club, we were drunk.
Yes.
And then we were looking for more liquor. So me and the other person went to the liquor store. He was there. So I approached him.
But you had done that because you thought that he was sexually attracted, like you wanted to smash, or?
He was physically attracted.
Ah, okay. So you aesthetically were like, this is what I like, but like yes. My gears are not going.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And he was physically attractive to me and the other person in the threesome.
And so her gears were going.
Yes.
Okay, and your gears were just like, maybe later after I found out his dog's name.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
And he was physically attractive. We exchanged numbers, and then that was pretty much it. We exchanged, like, we just solidified details.
Gotcha.
Following that. There was no courting. There was nothing
I'm
else.
I'm up in the coolest brain now. Stephanie, let's get in your brain. So, like, when you're walking down the street with everybody that you meet, original wants and needs, shout out to Miss Ratburn. What is it like for you when you're like looking at potential people who you want to date? Like, what is the process going through your mind?
So with being like demisexual, it's like, I want to say like it's the middle between asexual and sexual. So like there are people that I find attractive. Like I'd be like, hey, how you good? I'm good too. You know, there are people that I find attractive, but like if that person was like, yo, what's good? You trying to like do something? I'd be like, sir.
Nothing at all.
I just said you were appeasing to look at, and that's where we're going to leave it at. So I think when it comes to, like, the same thing you said, it's like, yeah, I've done that too. Like, I'm like, oh, like, they're nice. We should get to know them. You know, it's like, they're cute.
Right.
But who are you? You know, like, having those type of conversations. And Demi people, you know, think celebrities are cute. You know, it's just like, it's just something that's like, like, I feel like my body physically does not work. There could be someone who I find completely attractive, like, drop dead gorgeous, like, oh, my God, like, I cannot believe you're in my space. And my body would be like, so what, we drinking tea? What you want? You want water? You want ice? What you want? Because that's what we're doing. So, yeah.
So had y'all, because now I'm counting you as a demisexual.
Thank you.
To validate your experience in the world. Had y'all experienced or partook in different sexual situations before, like, you named and claimed this term? Or this identity, rather?
Like, I definitely tried a one-night stand to see if, like, maybe it's just like I wasn't feeling it ever, and maybe if I try it, it could work.
Right.
But then I remember being there, like, you gotta go. Like, I just.
Wait, did you kick the person out?
Yeah, I was like, you want? I don't know. I got a plastic cup. You can take it to go. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm
you
sorry.
Offered them a go cup?
I don't know. Like, some water. I didn't. I want nothing to do with
that
it.
That was very polite of you. I mean, you didn't have to do that.
I just feel like it started, and I remember being in that space. Like, damn. Like, I actually don't like you at all, and I think you're just here, and I don't want you to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, then I started panicking. I'm like, I have this like guy in my house, and I'm just like, he's a red cup with some water. You could just take that. The door's right there.
Yeah,
I don't want to do this anymore. So goodbye now. I'm going to my room. So figure it out. My room is like, who left this man in the hallway?
Who's this person in my living room?
Like, you got
a red cup in his hand.
So, like, you know, I mean, he was really, I mean, I guess, like, nice, because nothing else happened, but...
He was a decent human. Let's not give men more than their worth.
He was, like, not even, I don't know. God. Right.
Exactly. He was not a predator.
He was not a predator. So, Jesus, damn, like, it's so... Men are really trash.
I actually have a tattoo that says men are trash. It says it right here.
Yes.
They're horrible.
Like, oh.
Except my dad and my brother. But yeah, as a standard, bad.
Oh, so bad. So I remember being there, just like nothing was happening. Like my body wasn't wet. Like I wasn't hard. Like I wasn't even sweating. I was just like, let me watch some Netflix at least. Get something out of this night.
Let me put on some Black Mirror to get my shit going real quick.
I'm like, let me read a book because I know this character. Let me figure it out. But like,
that's funny.
In the beginning, it was definitely like, nah, sir, you gotta go. So I definitely tried to do things, like try to like do what I felt was like, oh, be more sexual. I felt like I wasn't sexy. So I was doing shit like that I didn't need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Akua?
I also tried one night stands because I thought it was what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Hoeing.
And in one particular instance, I got really drunk because I knew alcohol would help, some type of lubrication. But then when it got down to it, I went back to his place. When it got down to it, I was just like...
Is this the pencil dick story?
Oh, no. Oh. Why are you always bringing me back into my trauma? Why? Stop taking me back there.
You've just told me a lot about your life. I just have to go through the Rolodex.
This was Rodecca's house party.
You know, I was drunk that night. I vomited in somebody's bush. So I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I went back with him. When it got down to it, I wasn't feeling it. We still had sex. It was whack because I was there. I blamed it on him, but maybe I just wasn't there. You know, he could have performed, but I don't know. But I wasn't.
He probably didn't.
Probably.
Men are trash at sex, too, to be honest.
We had sex, he fell asleep, and then I left his house and I like left the door wide open.
Was that spite?
No, it locked from the inside, so I couldn't lock it and then get out. So I was like, and I sat there for like 10
But you left
minutes.
It ajar?
I sat there for 10 minutes trying to lock this man's door. And then I was like, I'm going home.
That's
fuck it. This ain't
that's
my house.
Yeah.
Don't fall asleep.
Nobody told him to fall asleep.
In your house.
That's true.
You don't know me. And he texted me in the morning like, yo, you left my door open. That's wild. I was like, my bad. I tried. And that was that.
Okay. So like now, knowing that you are demisexual and you felt this way for a while, do you communicate that with potential partners?
Smith, I just learned this.
Well, bitch, is there anybody here who you're interested in?
Quick check.
You want to host the show, queen? Damn.
But I will moving forward.
Okay.
I will moving forward.
It's not what I meant.
Oh my goodness.
Stephanie?
I think at first I was, when I found out, I was so excited. I was like, I know what I represent. Let me tell you. And then at first I just got a lot of confusion. I was just like, what? You like... Everyone had thought that it was something to do with like Demi Lovato, I guess that's
the trivia question wasn't off, apparently.
So
everyone was like, oh, what? You're a fan? I don't get it. I'm like, no, bro. Like, let me send you this link real quick. And a video. Here's a YouTube. I made a working PDF.
But also, they could have simply Googled.
That
you did not
well.
Have to do that labor. Demi Lovato does not come up when you Google that shit. The fuck is wrong with these people out here?
I'm saying, like, the standard is. So I'm like, here's a worksheet that you could just reach out. You could follow the links. None of them are broken. Right.
So, we doing Google spreadsheets. We doing worksheets.
Right, I'm doing like PowerPoint
to date,
like,
y'all.
So this is how you're gonna work with me. So at first I was doing that, and I think I was just getting a lot. I think a lot of people I was dating were like, peace. Like they were just ghosting me, and I was like, damn. So I stopped telling people, and I just dated people accordingly. So like if someone was like,
did you say quarterly?
Yeah.
Accordingly.
Oh. Yeah.
I was like, every 4 months? I'm sorry.
I mean, but it felt like that because sometimes I won't date as often. I'm just like, you know, I get a lot of people just like, oh, I thought you didn't like me because we were being friends. I'm just like, that's how I start. We gotta be friends first.
Yeah.
And then maybe this could turn to something. You know what I mean? And then they're like, damn, but like, I was smashing this other homegirl, and I'm like, wow, I'm just so hurt now. Like, so that was happening a lot. So I had to tell people, like, hey, I may be trying to fuck with you romantically in a bit. Chill out. And they'd be like, all right, cool. I guess. Are we dating? I'm like, I'm going to check in with you when I know. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
So when that has happened, it actually worked really well. So I've been dating since then, and it's been working.
Okay. Who you seeing now, if anybody?
You know, I'm seeing a little sign on the side. I mean, I'm not really on the side. I won't do them like that. But I am dating, and like it's something that like we haven't really talked about because I was just like, hey, like I just want to do this instead, and like he's just like, okay, cool, and it's just been like, yeah, fine, if you whatever you want to do, and I'm just like, yes, thank you. I like you now. I think maybe we could. And then he's like, okay, cool. Whatever you want. It's fine.
Where did you find this unicorn at?
You know, I think the thing is, you got to download all the dating apps. Like, don't stick to
one. I don't have enough space on my iPhone, see, first of all.
I decided to delete the Google Calendar. I'm like, did you use it? Enough.
Delete stocks, you know. Delete the four Chase. Podcast apps that you delete Chase. I don't got no money in there anyway. Come on.
I don't got
what
am I doing? Chase. but yeah, it was a lot of dating apps, a lot of going out to events. But even if I think going out to events for me is like worthless romantically. Cause I just like, oh, they're cute. Hopefully I see them again. Probably not because I didn't say anything. Disappear. So like online dating really helped.
Is that
helped.
The demisexuality or is that like introversion?
I want to say it's probably the demisexuality because I feel like I'm extroverted-ish.
You are. I feel that.
Thank you. Sometimes I fake it. So.
Yes. Me too, bitch. Yeah. I don't want to be here right now talking to any of y'all niggas. I'd rather be home in bed, but here we are.
But yeah, so a lot of dating apps. I downloaded them and was dating like I want to get a date a week. And I was doing that for like three months. Yo, so much free food.
Okay.
Did I gain? Yes. But am I fed? Yes.
Right.
That's good.
You know, I kept the calendar. Like, you have to fit Thursday at 8 because that's the only time that I have this week. Yeah. And I told myself, like, you know, each person was like an adventure type of thing. Like, oh, we're going to do this weird thing that I don't want to pay for. and it's been working, having that schedule. But then I was like, you're really going to date because it took a lot of outfits. I repeated a lot of them, but like it just took a lot.
They didn't see how the one date outfit.
They
did
it. I feel like I go to the same bar all the time.
The bartenders.
The bartenders.
Here comes this bitch again. The same green dress. Wow.
A Roman Coke.
And they wink. I see you, girl.
Your day is like, have you been here before?
Nah.
Never.
First time. Yeah, I have no idea what they have. So can I get the special? The $5.
Hey, Dave. Good to see you again. How's the wife and kids? Akua, how are you going to move going forward in terms of your dating life?
You know I gave up.
So do you feel like you gave up because of the demisexuality?
No, I gave up because the selections was trash and I was tired. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I feel like I was thirsty is not the word I want to use, but I was very eager.
Mm-hmm. And that spent a lot of emotions out of me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, no, I'm a bit scarred.
I have a question I'm so sorry.
You heard that last date.
Yes, it was horrible. Yes, you can listen.
It was with a troll. I was on a date with a troll.
How was he a troll?
Because he kept trying to bait me into like trans antagonistic conversations.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? You know where I stand.
People are
weird
out there.
You know my politics. You know
my politics. He wanted to fight.
And then fuck. Like, I don't
know. Yeah, he wanted to fight and then fuck.
I don't know.
Dating is hard. Garbage.
Just drink vodka.
Pretty bad, yeah. Men are trash, you know?
Damn.
Yeah. I'll look any one of y'all in the eye. Why? You're garbage. The person with Janina, you're garbage. It's only two men here. The rest of them left. Ever clear out a room of men or white people, it's us. Last week at sex trivia, the two white people were like, ooh,
time for us to go.
Gotta go. not our safe space. Sorry.
Not is it.
Hello, my homies. I hope you guys are really enjoying this episode with us and Stephanie at the Much Different Podcast Space. We had a really great time. Just popping in to give you a quick message from our sponsor today, who is BetterHelp. So is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? It might be anxiety about your career or familial issues or even relationship troubles, right? Or processing your queerness or coming out to your family. So for me personally, this year so far has been a whirlwind of accomplishing my goals, but also dealing with some anxieties about my future and unresolved traumas from my past. But it really helps when I can speak with someone about what's going on in my mind. So if you're like me and going through it and need someone to open up to, you might want to try BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online portal that provides direct-to-consumer access to behavioral health services offering online counseling and therapy services. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. So a few weeks ago, I signed up for BetterHelp, and I filled out a questionnaire of things that I was looking for, like what was troubling me. Like there were some things where it was like rate on a scale of 1 to 5, how important like dealing with anxiety is to you, or dealing with depression is to you, or relationship issues are to you, or things with your family. So I filled out that questionnaire and I was matched with a counselor the very next day. She seemed nice, but I actually prefer to have a Black woman counselor. That's just what makes me feel comfortable. So I requested a new counselor and the next day I was matched with a dope-ass Black woman counselor. So once you get matched with a counselor, you can log into your account at any time and send them a message. So after I got matched, my first counselor had sent me a message, and then I went into the settings and I was like, oh, I want to request a change to this. And then when I got my new counselor, she also like hit me up the very next day and gave me a targeted and thoughtful response to the things that I filled out in the questionnaire. So I really appreciate the service. Throughout the day, I chat back and forth with the counselor that I have now. She always responds within a timely manner, and her responses and questions are insightful, and they're like actually unpacking what I'm saying to her. We're slowly getting into some pressing anxieties and hardships that I've been dealing with lately. And when my schedule clears up in a bit next week, I'm going to schedule a video session with her. I find that super convenient because I can hold the session anywhere, even when I'm traveling, for example. So you can also schedule these video or phone sessions weekly, and you don't have to sit in a comfortable waiting room or center your session around a commute. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change your counselors if needed, which is exactly what I did. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So visit betterhelp.com/IHU and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Inner Hall Uprising listeners, that's y'all, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. Once again, that's betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, and U as in uprising. Now let's get back to this live show.
Well, let's transition into some conversations about your queer identity, right? So are you out to your family?
I want to say yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that, like, I want to say I personally didn't want to come out. Just as I just didn't want to. Like, I didn't want to be like, hey, mom, like,
you know, I'm interested in all folks, da da da. And I didn't want to do that. So like, I just move into space as queer. And then my mom's like, oh, okay, I see there's a girlfriend. I'm like, yeah, my partner. We're not friends. And then it was very
suck her titties, mom.
And then it was kind of like a, okay, cool. Heard you. So there's not a husband, not a baby coming. I'm like, we don't know. Obviously not a husband, mom. Like, not with this one. Yeah. So like, it was just a, yeah. So I just decided to move like that. I think I didn't want to do that because I just didn't. So my family knows, but they also don't know. They always think like, oh no, you know, she's going through a thing. I'm just like, every 6 months, I don't know. It's just consistent.
This is a pretty long phase.
It's a long phase.
Okay. And how have you, like, are you reconciling with that? Or are you just like, well, I'm moving and y'all can catch up or watch me do what I do or whatever?
I feel like I didn't want to hold space for my mom in that light because she's
you
very...
You said did or didn't?
I didn't want to hold space for my mom because I think she's like homophobic, right? And then she'll say things and I'll be like, this is what we're not gonna do, this is what we're not gonna say. And I feel like she wanted me to have this conversation like, oh, but let's talk about religion. I'm just like, that's nothing to do with nothing, but like in my space you're not gonna do any of these things. And that's just a conversation we had. And I feel like once like I put my foot down with her and like, this is a Dominican mom and she's always like, oh, but you know, I'm the queen here. Like I run this. I'm just like, that's cute, but you're not gonna say this trash. Like not in front of me, you're not gonna do it. Or I just don't come, I don't show up, and, you know? And like, you the one who ruined this relationship, not me, I'm leaving. And I think my mom understood like, damn, like my daughter really gonna dip if I don't change. And I was just like, you could be by yourself for Mother's Day. I don't know. I bought you something, but I could keep it. It's up to you,
this
mom.
This necklace looks kind of nice, you know, though.
I'm gonna keep it. But you know, it took me a long time to get there. Like I'm closer to 30 now. But when I was younger, I just avoided the conversation. But now that I'm just like, I have access and I have privilege to not live at home, to be like, I'm not gonna come because you turn it up. And then from there, she started to change. She started to be like, oh, I guess you're right. You know, they, you know, you deserve rights. So I'm just like, yeah, the fuck, mom? You know, is that, thanks, no, mom. It's literally like, you know, she's just like really religious and like, you know, her crew, her little church crew is just haters. I'm like, y'all haters. Y'all all haters. All of you are haters, you know?
Well, you had mentioned that she's a Dominican mom. I mean, you are Dominican. Is there something particular about your Latinx identity that you think kind of conflicts with queerness?
Yes. I feel like with the people I know who are also like Dominican, my family, you know, everything centered around a man in a way. The aspect is like, you know, like we have to take care of the man. Is he hungry? Did he use the bathroom?
Does he wipe his ass?
Like, does he need the controller to turn on the TV? Yeah, and I'm just like, bro, am I hungry? Ask me. So like everything is centered around a man. So to know that you don't want one, it's like my family's just head broke. Like, how are you gonna survive? Do you not want to get married and live off this man? You know, I'm like, I would like money, yes, but not like this, you know what I mean?
I don't want to be abused while I'm living off of this man, right? But I would like to live off this man, yes.
Yes, like, he could easily do a scheduled deposit right into my debit card.
That's all I'm asking.
That's
for.
That's all I ask. Block out your number, because I don't want to see it when it comes out. But yeah, I think the culture is very man-centric, and I think even when we dance, everything is led by a man, and to be like, no, like, I did salsa solo on purpose because I didn't want to be led by a man. I think my mom knew something was up. Like, you never want to dance with guys or boys. I'm just like, yeah, I don't. I lead myself. I think she was like, damn, this bitch is gay. I knew it. But yeah, it definitely clashes. But I think, you know, once I think my parents think like they know the best for me and they think is like a penis that pays for things for me. But once they see me like, wow, she's happy, she's living, she's doing good, she visits us, maybe this isn't such a bad look, you know? So yeah,
that's good. So aside from your mom and your dad, like, do you have siblings?
Yeah.
How are they acclimating to your queerness?
such a weird phrasing. They can live with it, whatever.
Yeah. But
like, do you talk to them about it?
Yeah. So I have an older brother, and when I first saw him, he was like, oh, okay, what's that? Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And that was the conversation. There are multiple people that came up to him, was like, hey, like, you know, I always knew that, like, Stephanie was, like, gay. Is it true? And then he'll just be like, why are you asking me these questions? Why does it matter? Like, move in a different direction, because we're not going to have this gossip thing. And he just took it as fun. Like, I think he's been a really good supporter in my, like, relationships. Now that I'm dating, like, a cis man, I kind of be like, damn it. Like,
I gotta be gayer.
Damn. Like, I wanna. Why did you come? What's wrong? No, I like you, stay. My siblings took it. My brother took it really well, and he's really supportive, so I'm happy to have him.
That's cool. I think that, like, speaks to this kind of, like, millennial openness-ish, because people are still trash, but they're, like, a little bit better trash. They're, like, trash with, like, a bow on top and stuff.
Trash
like
that doesn't stink as much?
It's, like, kind
so
of?
So they don't stink as
That's
much?
That's a trash that doesn't stink as much?
Trash that washes its legs. How about your partner in regards to your queerness?
He's really cool with it, which I really enjoy. I think sometimes when I do date, like, cis men, I think sometimes they erase that part of you. They be like, oh, no, yeah, that was a thing. I'll be like, nope, any day I could just hop right back in and live. Don't know. But he's been really supportive, such as, like, oh, yeah, because, you know, you identify as queer and mentions me in that light, which I appreciate. Because I was looking like, you know, I'm not, like, straight. And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, okay, cool. Making sure you keep new. All right, June's a big day for me too. So yeah, so he's pretty cool with it.
Cool. And two final things I wanted to go back to. So in regards to, like, you had brought up the fact that your parents were, or your mom specifically, was homophobic, but she also was just like, I want kids.
Right.
So how is that conversation broached now where, like, you might end up with someone who cannot give you kids, potentially?
It was an honest conversation. Come just like, mom, one, you don't even know if I want kids. Like, you want grandchildren,
right?
But why don't you just, I don't know, adopt? Like, I don't know, we have a dog, like, figure it out. Like, I don't know what else you want from me. But, like, her idea of, like, your success means that you are a mother and you have a family and you have a house and you have a husband and, like, you cook and you clean. That's her idea of success, and which is fine, but that's not my idea of success. So I told her, like, I may not want none of that. I might want to be a librarian and have, like, I don't know, one bedroom. Like, I don't know. Like, that's maybe my success and being okay with that. But just the expectations, like, cut whatever you think was going to happen. You don't know you was going to buy me a wedding dress. Like, to be honest, you don't even know I was going to be here. We have no idea. But what I want to be...
You mean alive?
Yeah, I mean...
You being real out here.
I'm just like, mom, like, that ass, we really don't know. So I want to do what I'm happy with, instead of, like, having this, like, imaginary pressure for me to make an imaginary man up and have imaginary children when I don't want to do that right now. And like, just accepting that realness with her.
Any sex, love, and dating tips for other demisexual folks out there for this summer who are trying to, like, get in there?
One, I would say take your time. Whatever you feel like makes you comfortable, do. Don't feel like you have to do 3 days and then fuck. Do whatever you want and just be open with the person you're dating. Like, this is what I want to do and this is what I want to do. And feel confident in that, because no one can take that from you.
Do you have any advice for any young queer people who are living at home with these kind of parents and don't have the financial freedom or the age to move around and set those boundaries because they're still dependent?
Great question.
I would say, one, always check your surrounding. As someone who has access to leave, I understand people don't. And being okay that if you can't come out or if you can't move in a way that you want to move because of your living situation, do what makes you feel most comfortable. Because I think that the worst thing that can happen could happen. And just, like, you want to make sure that you're safe and that you're okay. But if you're in a space that you're like, yo, I really can't do that, try to figure out ways to remove yourself from that space, or, like, create a safe space for you in that space. Like, for sure, like, this is random, but, like, I know my mom didn't like when I had an altar, so I had to make a small altar by my window and cover it with plants. I'm like, I'm still gonna pray, right? I'm trying. I ain't doing this Jesus shit right now. You know? And that's something so small, like religion, whatever. But like, you know, I had to, cause like I couldn't leave. I didn't have any options. So like, do whatever makes you feel safe.
Thank you for that. Comments, questions, concerns? Quana? Can you give her the mic?
I would like police not to show up at Pride. I think it's too much police presence at Pride. I think that's something they need to consider, because that's why the whole thing was like started, the Stonewall riots. And I felt like last year there was just too many police to the point that I was uncomfortable in some spaces. I feel like a lot of people actually like ran away from the parade route and like created this whole other thing to get away from them. So I would just like to throw that out there.
That's a great point. I don't like police presence at parades anyway, like in general.
I don't like police presence.
Period.
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 Any other questions, comments, concerns, rants, tales, threesome stories?
It was going to be more about the police, but I'm not going to go
ahead. It was good. Sure, go ahead.
No, because I work in the mental health field, and when someone is at risk of themselves, you have to call the ambulance, and the police come. And they're hostile. Like, this is a vulnerable person, not mentally stable. And here you are being mad menacing and big. And it's like six of y'all in my small ass office. We didn't need all of y'all.
Guns on your hips.
None of y'all are with their hands on their gun. We're sitting.
That's scary. Go ahead.
My question is actually to you, because you said that you work with mental health issue patients. Do you think maybe the police officers have a mental issue? That's why they're always coming out belligerent?
Yeah, I was gonna be like, that's just racist.
I think there's some sociopathy there.
That right there, yes. It is, yeah, they are always white, and I work in a predominantly African-American people of color community. There are always white police officers that show up. But yeah, it's white supremacy. It is male hostility. It's just all bad.
I just think of the story that came out a couple of years ago where they had that Facebook group and they were talking shit about Juve. I feel like if you're in Brooklyn, you should know what Juve is. But it's before the West Indian Day Parade or Carnival, aka. And they were just like, a bunch of monkeys out there on Eastern Parkway or whatever. Like, you can't be having these private conversations and then actually serve my community safely, feeling that way about me. So, yeah.
So I had a question about the demisexual, like, dating. And so on dating apps, how do you find, like, approaching being demisexual and getting, like, to physical points with people? Because for me, I don't really know how to, like, say, like, don't touch me. I don't know you yet. But, yeah, so that would be my question.
On some app, I think OkCupid and I believe Tinder has the option to put demisexual as like what you represent as. I think it's just having open conversations with whoever you're dating. Like, hey, like, I don't like public shows of affection. Like, I don't want that right now from you. And it sounds weird to say, but it just sounds weird to say, because I feel like we're a generation that like is learning how to be like, yo, like, we don't like this. Like, we don't have to do things that we don't want to do anymore, I guess. Even though we should have, you know, we should have always been not doing things we didn't want to do anymore. But when it comes to the people you're dating, if they already look funny, they're like, what you mean? You'd be like,
wasn't worth it.
Put it on his car. Let's go. We got
had
go.
A free meal today.
Thank you. Like, you fucked up. You know what I mean? If that's how you know this person cannot have an adult conversation, not even an adult conversation, just a conversation about like, hey, I like to move in this direction. And they're like, okay, cool. Is there a certain way? Like, having clear questions. If they not about it, you already know that. Thank you for the burger, the black bean burger was delicious. But I'm gonna take it or go.
Shout out to the vegans.
Yeah, you know. Order the most expensive thing and then bounce.
As a newly identified demisexual.
Claim it and name it, girl.
I am also a very flirty person and a very sexually suggestive person that has nothing, like, it means nothing. Like, I'm just flirty. And in knowing that, I know that people will read that a certain way and feel like they can move with me a certain way, that would then make me uncomfortable because I didn't mean any of this. I don't want you like that. So when navigating dating apps and we've solidified a date, I'm off rip in text or in whatever form of communicating, telling you what I do and do not do. I do not kiss on the first date. You can ask to hold my hand. And I'm very clear about those things. So like the moment it comes up and I've had men push my boundaries, like try to kiss me or try to do something. It's Viola Davis meme. Like, I'm grabbing my purse and I'm out. Like, thank you. Good night. And I'm pulling my Uber. I'm getting in my car and I'm going home.
Well, y'all have been a lovely audience this evening, quite sincerely. Stephanie, will you let the people know where they can find you on the internets?
Oh, this is so hard because Lena does it. I'm like, damn it. You can follow our website is bgladies.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr at bgladies. And we are on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and I believe a whole bunch of places. But if you go to the website, bgladies.com, you'll find all our information.
And we can order your art, and you sell lavender spray. And you
I'm taking a little break.
Oh, you're taking a little break. Yeah. My bad. I'm sorry.
I'm also, I had to close the shop for a little bit. But I will, you know, take a little break right now.
Cool. Akul, will you let the people know where they can follow Inner Hoe Uprising?
Yes, you guys can follow Inner Hoe Uprising on the social media at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You guys can follow me at Hey Akul Girl. That is HeyAkuGirl. I only spell it because Samantha likes it. On Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, and you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos. And you can find Inner Hoe Uprising on all the podcast apps.
And you can go to our website, innerhoeuprising.com, to buy some merchandise. We do have some here with us today. Ooh. And to pay a hoe, because hoes need to be paid.
Hoes do need to be paid. And you can see the other types of things that we're doing in the future by going to innerhoeuprising.com/events. So we got a calendar now.
We lit.
Yes.
Lit. We on the mat.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Well, we're still going to be here. Bye.
You know,